Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn there with me today. Today we celebrate Mother's Day, and the reason we do it is because it's sanctioned in the Bible. The Bible said in Exodus, is not my text, but Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, Christian mothers is the world's greatest asset. The great human influence upon society today ought to be by our mothers. We sometimes stop and wonder how we got to the place that we are, but yet today I would say that in a great many cases that the mothers are the ones that have influenced and directed our nation. Some not so well, but thank God for those who have guided their children in the direction that they needed to go, in the ways that they ought to go, and the things they should do. If you remember, the first mother in the Bible, of course, was Eve, and she wreaked havoc, if you would, upon the society and brought it about. But yet the grace of our Lord came along and helped out the condemned motherhood when He gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. God uses mothers to develop the soul life of His children. That child that lies upon his mother's chest is something that will never cease to exist. It will live on, whether it be in bliss or in torment. Oftentimes today in society, we hear wonderful stories of mother-daughter relationships. But then on the other hand, we hear sad stories about mother-daughter that have no relationships and many things that occur because of it. Christian mothers should be highly honored today, because literally they are kingdom builders. I believe today if society is going to change and we're going to get to the place we need to be, it'll be because mothers have worked to direct their children into the kingdom. They're character constructors. It's important that the mother has a great influence. And I'm not saying today Father's Day is coming, okay, guys? But today we're talking to mothers. And mothers literally will form the very thing that is needful in the life of that mother as she directs them and the way they ought to go, the character they have, the way they respond, the way they act, and the things that they do. And then they're recruiting agents for the eternal realms that lie beyond this present light. As mothers today, all around, it is a special time when we express our gratitude to them for what they've done. Many today, we could go back and tell stories, and I'm sure many of you have stories of good, godly mothers. But today I've chosen as my text 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And I want to talk to you about Timothy and the godly influence that he had. The Bible said, beginning in verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, upon whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which had dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. Again, verse 5 would be our text today. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which was first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together today. Lord, I pray now that you would anoint my lips. I pray that you'd give me the words that you'd have me to speak. Lord, I pray that you'd have me to be a blessing. Lord, hide me behind the cross today. And Lord, may mothers today be encouraged and be thankful of those, Lord, who have gone through probably many difficulties and even through the pains of childbearing. But yet, Lord, we thank you for their faithfulness and what they've done and what they've continued to do in this day. Bless now the message, we pray. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. I realize sometimes in life that some people turn out good in spite of the parents they have. And again, not slandering anyone in any way, but oftentimes many people may be raised apart from a Christian home. In fact, many of you here today may have been not raised in a Christian home. However, somewhere along the line, somebody made an influence and impact upon your life to get you to the place where you are today, for which we rejoice. Well, there's nothing greater than to have a mom in your home that loves God, cares about God, and wants to develop your character into being what you need to be as you serve Him on a daily basis. Timothy had such a mother, and her name was Eunice. We find that she was nothing really special, other than she was just what she was special because of who she was, but yet we find that she was special because she loved God in many ways. We find that she was just a normal person. Her husband was a Gentile. We find that in Acts 16 in verse number 1. She was a Jewish. She spent time teaching Timothy the Holy Scriptures. May I tell you today that it's a wonderful thing to send your children to Sunday school. It's a good thing for you to depend upon that teacher to teach them the Word of God. And by the way, they ought to be teaching them the Word of God. But the full responsibility ought to lie in the home and the mothers teaching their children the Word of God on a daily, regular basis in order that they might hear it, learn it, and be able to comprehend it in their life. Friend, tonight, this morning, what an influence a mother can have on a child's salvation. But it ought to be even a greater influence because of the daily contact that you have with them on a daily basis. Listen, Timothy's home was probably more like seminary than anything else. His mother taught him constantly the things of the Word of God. His mom was probably converted to Christianity during Paul's first missionary journey to Lystra, where Paul was stoned and left for dead. And when Timothy spoke of Eunice in public, I believe that he held his head high. I believe unashamedly he declared, no doubt everywhere he went, "That's my mother." And I tell you today, we surely do not want children to be ashamed of their mothers, and you would not want your children to be ashamed of you. And what a blessing it is if you have a mother that you can raise your head high and say, "That's my mother," unashamed because of her faithfulness to you as well as to God. You see, your desire ought to be the fact to introduce your children to the Lord Jesus Christ at an early age and to influence them in a way that would be pleasing to God. Many of us heard the story of Susanna Wesley. We remember when her son John was going to be a missionary in Georgia. That's quite interesting. He asked his mother her opinion about the matter. Here's what she said. She said, "Had I 100 sons, I should be glad to see them all engaged in such a blessed work, although I might not see them anymore in this world. In other words, I would delight to see my children in the work of God, even if it meant that I would never see them down here again. I would rejoice in that." She was a mother that loved God. She no doubt loved her children, but she loved God and she trusted God to do with her children what needed to be done. I would say that today, even the Virgin Mary, we look at and think about her, how that today we can look at our mothers and say, without a doubt, she's my mother, rejoicing. I wish my mother, she's been gone 19 years now this July. I tell you, I miss my mother, but I tell you, I was never ashamed of my mother. I could lift my head high and say to anybody, "That's my mother," because of the influence that she had upon my life. So what is it that makes a child be able to say that about their mother? Unfortunately, there are times in lives when maybe some mothers bring shame and reproach, just as much as children bring shame and reproach. But I believe today the thing that would make us recognize or not be ashamed of our mother would be the fact of several things that is in our life. First of all, her Lord. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Not any greater joy than to see a mom that is saved by the grace of God, loves God on their way to heaven, and sharing with their children the blessed truths of the Word of God on a regular daily basis. I'm glad today that I was directed from a very early age to the house of God. I was directed quite often to the Word of God. But yet today we find, as I started to mention a while ago, even the Virgin Mary, listen, she had to be saved just like anybody else had to be saved. Somebody said, "Well, how do you know that?" Because the Bible tells us that in Luke 1:47, she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in my God, in God my Savior." She realized that she had need of a Savior. She'd been saved by the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, today it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have or where you live. Every woman, every mother must come to the realization one day that they need to be saved by the grace of God, no matter who they are, and they need to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find Eunice was a saved mother, for the Bible said that he talked about Timothy's faith. He said, the unfeigned faith that was in you. And he talks about the unfeigned faith that was in her because of her stand for God. It was an idea of being without hypocrisy or pretense. In other words, she didn't present herself to be one thing and then do something else. She was sincere about this matter of serving God. She had been saved and born again and put on the Christian life. She was genuine. She was the real thing. And friend, today that's what we need in mothers. And by the way, our children know us better than anybody, and they know whether what we have is real or not. They know what we have, whether it's really sincere or not, and we have to set an example that would be pleasing to God. First of all, every mother must realize and come to the point, and I know this is kind of a basics, but it's the basics that need to be reminded of, is the realization of sinfulness. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know some of you probably think that your mother was the best mother in the world, and she may have been. You probably think that there was nothing she could do wrong, and maybe there did not seem to be anything that she could do wrong. But the fact of it is, she was born in this world a sinner just like you and I are. Must come to the realization and understanding of her sinfulness. She must repent of her sin. The Bible said in Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. And then come to the point of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. The Bible said in John 1:12, and as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. I'm glad today for the fact that I had a mother that loved God. I had a mother that was saved by the grace of God. I had a mother that wanted me to be in the house of God, that I could hear the word of God and one day come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him in baptism and live for him and serve him. 19 years ago, unfortunately, I had to go and walk beside my mother's casket and look down, and I saw my mother was not living anymore. But I tell you what I realized I was a part of her and she was a part of me, and there was nothing that would ever separate that one from the other. I don't know what I'd have done without the assurance of my mother through all those years. I loved my daddy, and my daddy was a good man in all the ways possible. He was a good father and a good man. But I tell you, when there was times of need, or when I needed some sympathy, or I needed some loving, or I needed somebody to care, it was my dear mother that would come and put her arm around me. It was my dear mother that would comfort me when I needed comfort. And it was my mother that would make me smile when I was sad. It was my mother, when all the sorrows and sighings and heartaches that I placed upon her, she still loved me with an everlasting love, and she never gave up on me. And friend, today the reason I could say that's my mother, or she's my mother, is because of her Lord. I tell you today, I know nothing except faithfulness to God. I was raised, as I said, they tell me I went to church when I was a week old. I don't know. I don't remember it. I surely don't remember what they preached on that day. But I tell you what, I was there. And I don't remember hardly being anywhere else. And I remember the time that I got a little rebellious and didn't want to go. Dad said, it's okay. But he said, as long as you live here, you're going. And I thank God for that today. And what a blessing of a good, godly mother. But another reason today that I can say how much she's my mother is because of her love. You see, our love of a godly woman comes from the following testimony. A man by the name of Thomas Benton said this of his mother. He said, my mother asked me to never use tobacco, and I never touched it from that time until today. She asked me not to gamble, and I never gambled. She admonished me against hard drinking in whatever capacity for endurance I had at the present and whatever usefulness I have attained in life. I owe to having complied with this her correct wishes. When I was 7 years of age, she asked me not to drink, and I have lived in total abstinence from alcohol. I owe that also to my mother. Unfortunately, all of us don't have that testimony. But I tell you, we had a mother, and I had a mother, the last thing in the world she wanted me to do was to throw my life away on things that would destroy my life. She wanted me to live for God. She wanted me to serve God. She wanted me to be faithful to God. And the love that is inside of a mother, it causes her to expect much of her children. And yet we don't need to think that they're old-fashioned or they're square or they're wrong. We need to understand that they care about us. And true today, I can say that she's my mother because my mother loved me. I remember when I moved to Jacksonville, Florida, right out of high school. I tell you, I'd come home for the weekend, and I tell you, you know, Jacksonville's not that far down the road, and I come home quite often. But I tell you, there was never a time that I did not come home that when I got in the car to go back, my mother would not stand in the yard with tears streaming down her eyes, crying her heart out because her son was about to leave again. And even after we were married and lived in Chattanooga, we'd come home. My mother always had a tender heart. I guess that's where I got it from. But I tell you, my mother would stand in the yard, and I tell you, think that death was coming and we'd never see each other again. But oh, it wasn't that at all. It was just that my mother loved us. She didn't want to be apart from us, and she wanted us to be close by. You see, love does several things. Excuse me. Love will correct. In Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Somebody said, well, preacher, what do you think about whipping children? I just think the Bible teaches it. And the Bible says that if you really love your child, you'll correct them. I'm not trying to be harsh or mean, and you may have different means of correcting your children and whatever, but I can tell you this. If you really love your child, you will discipline them to keep them from turning to things that will destroy their life. And I tell you, even though at many times the young folks may get angry and they may get a little bit of hate, but I tell you, a mother that loves her children will correct them when they're wrong. She won't let them get by with doing things that they don't need to get by with. She'll tell them what they need to do, and they will be made to do it because she loves them. You said, but you got to give them their own mind. They've got to make up their own minds. They've got to have their own decision. Friend, I'm telling you, God placed parents and mothers and dads in the place of responsibility to raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and it even means correcting them when they're wrong. Now, when they get grown and move out, you have no control over that. But I'm going to tell you, until they do, around my house, my mom and daddy was in charge. And I believe today around my house, I tried to be in charge, me and my wife. Love will correct. Oh, you said, well, you know, I just don't believe. I don't want to hurt the feelings. I don't want them to get the feeling that way. Friend, I can tell you this today. We often find today love will also correct, but love will console. How many times when you failed at some task that you sought out to accomplish, did your mother take you aside, give you a hug, try to lift your spirit by saying something like, it'll be all right. God will work it all out. You may have failed, but don't give up. Just keep trying. Sometimes maybe all you needed was a hug of reassurance from that mother. It could have been 10,000 orators that could have said something, but none of them would have helped you like mother's word. Love will correct, love will console, but love will care. A good mother is always willing to listen to your problems. I'm going to tell you, if you can't talk to your children, who can they talk to? Mothers, you know what? Your children literally ought to look at you as being their best friend. You ought to be their confidant. You ought to be the one they can go to when there are troubles and sit down and talk to them. And yes, even if it involves correction, you need to understand what God is saying. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It's much the same way with our mother. She not only will let us lean upon her wisdom and advice, but she wants us to do so. I tell you, many times I would find that my mother was ready to listen. I just had to get ready to talk to her and tell her what my problems was. You see, when a child hurts, she hurts. When her child is happy, that makes her happy because of her love. But then thirdly today, we see her longings. What does a godly mother long for? Does she necessarily want her children to become rich and famous? Boy, isn't it sad today that we live in a society that's raising children up and we're more concerned about the marks they make or the place they get to or what they accomplish in life. I think today all of us rejoice that our children We rejoice when they make something of their life. But friend, what is your longings for your children? First and foremost ought to be, irregardless of anything, is one day they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. No mother in her right mind would want her children to die and go to hell. I tell you, somebody said, well, boy, I sure pray my kids, when they go to Sunday school, I sure hope they get the gospel and get saved. I hope they do too. But I tell you, they ought to hear the gospel long before they get to Sunday school. They ought to hear the story of Jesus dying on the cross for our sin and what she does. Her longing ought to be more than anything to see them saved by the grace of God. You see, sin and the world can destroy the lives of a mother's children. I tell you, today I listened to a CD that Brother Mitchell sent me this week, and it was quite a testimony of a godly mother. But I tell you today, she wants her children. That ought to be the first and foremost today, is to know beyond a shadow of a doubt your children are saved. Speaking from one that has gone to the cemetery with a child, I can tell you there's no greater joy in this world than knowing that that child that left me had been born again and saved by the grace of God. And I have the hope that one day I'll see them again. I tell you, some parent comes to the cemetery and says, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they were saved. Friend, today, mothers, listen, you ought to know. You ought to talk to them. You ought to share with them. You ought to be sure. And again, I'm not saying, I realize they've got to get to a certain age where they understand. I'm not saying just get them to go through the motions. I'm not saying just get them to pray a prayer. I'm not saying that. I'm saying educate them in the Word of God and the things of God. She'll want her children to be saved. She'll want her children to be sanctified. Sanctification comes after we get saved. She wants her children going. She doesn't want them going with the ways of the world. She wants them set apart for the Lord's service. Furthermore, she wants her children to surrender to God. You remember what Susanna Wesley said of her son John going as a missionary. Had I 100 sons and he should go somewhere where I would never see him again, I would wish them to be in the service of the Lord. That's the way the right kind of mother really feels. You know, today it's not so much what we want or what we desire as it is what God wants and what God desires in our life. And surely today, I can say, and I can look at my own life and go back and say, truly, my mother, I tell you, I can say she's my mother because she loved the Lord with all her heart and all her soul. I can say she's my mother because she loved like I don't believe any other mother could love. And she longed. Oh, I remember when I surrendered. In fact, I'm not proud of it, but I gave my parents a pretty rough time for a while. And I tell you what, I'll never forget the joy of the day when I came back to the place of serving God and being faithful to Him. I remember the joy that she experienced and the happiness that I saw in her face. I've often said I can't thank the Lord enough for allowing them to be a part of this church for the last few years of their life, me be able to be their pastor. I tell you today, I spoke of my mother proudly. She's my mother because of her Lord. Because of her love, because of her longing, she wants her children to be Spirit-filled. The Bible said in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Her love and her longing ought to be to see her children surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the two children God gave me, and one today's in heaven. Thankful today for Justin. It's been a blessing to me and a great encouragement, and I couldn't ask for a better son, I believe, than what God's given. And I'm speaking, I thank for his mother also. But I tell you, the joy of my son is knowing that he's involved in the work of the Lord and that he surrendered his life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I had people oftentimes come to me and said, what's wrong, man? Don't you think God called Justin to preach? Don't you think God's called Justin a pastor? Justin's never felt like God called him a pastor. And his mama is not going to call him because, you see, his mama's calling ain't going to do any good. It would have to be God's calling. And, friend, it matters not to me whether you're a preacher or whether you're a layman or whether you work a job or what you do. You need to do God's will, whatever that is. But, friend, there's nothing to be ashamed of just to do what God called you to do and to be faithful and do it. And there's no greater joy than just knowing your children are surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, today I surely would have wanted my son to be anything that God had not wanted him to be. And I believe he could have done it. I believe he could have made a good one. But I tell you what, God obviously did not intend that. And I respect that. But friend, I tell you today, I stand proudly today. His mother stands proudly today because he's fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, she's my mother today because of her life. My mother was not a put-on. She was not anything fancy. My mother struggled through life. She had a lot of health problems. She constantly, and I guess maybe this is my excuse, she constantly battled a weight problem. She was always going through it, just as many of us do now. She struggled a lot, but I tell you, she was not a hypocrite. She practiced what she preached. No, she didn't ever preach in the pulpit, but she preached by her life and her testimony of who Christ was and what he did. You see, an actor pretends to be something he's not. And I just thought, I'm not going to even share that. I just had a thought that came of what an actor said the other day. He was talking about some things they did in the movies, and he said, well, I just do it because it's acting. Friend, I tell you what, our life should not be a life of acting. Our life should be an act of reality. You see, Timothy's mother lived what she taught. That's one reason the Word of God had such an impound or a great, profound impact upon his life. The Word of God was lived through his mother's life. And again, I'm grateful. I mentioned to you quite often that my wife was the product of the bus ministry. It was not the influence of the home so much as it was that somebody on a bus picked her up and took her to church, and she heard the Word of God and got saved, and she's turned out to be a good, godly woman, and God's blessed me with her. But could I tell you this? It sure is good to have a good influence in the home. And mothers, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to try to be that, to set the example. Be real. Apply the Bible that you read. Don't just read it. Let it soak into your heart. Let it affect your behavior and your attitudes. Be real. Attend a church where the Word of God is being preached, where the Word of God is constantly being given and salvation is continually being presented, and the importance of godly living and holy living is continually being exalted. For the Bible said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We've got a world today that doesn't want to hear what we have to say. Let your children remember that you, as a church-going, church-backing mother, when they get a little older, they'll remember. And they'll say, boy, my mother loved God. And she loved God. She loved the house of God. She loved the church. And she was faithful to it. Be real and accept and relieve the needs of others. Wise is that mother that looked beyond herself to help others. I tell you, today we live in a world where people are constantly needing encouragement and help. And we need to understand tonight how much we need to be faithful in doing what God would have us to do. I close with this illustration. A man by the name of Clarence McCartney, he was a Presbyterian minister, and on a Sunday night, he preached a sermon on the text. He said, do thy diligence to come before winter. In his message, he said, before winter or never. There are some things which will never be done unless they're done before winter. The winter will come and the winter will pass. The flowers of spring will deck the breast of the earth, and the graves of some of our opportunities, perhaps the grave of a dearest friend, there are golden gates wide open on this autumn day. And next October, he said, they'll be forever shut. There was a student that was present in that service, and he was going to Jefferson Medical College. When he went back to his room, the text, come before winter, he could not get it out of his mind. He repeated it over and over again. He said, I must write a letter to my mother before winter. And he sat down and he penned a letter and he sent it to her. And he wrote that letter, and in his delight, he mailed that letter, and he was delighted about her receiving it, and he mailed it. The next day, in the midst of his students, he received a telegram which said, come at once, your mother is dying. That evening, he headed to the little country home. He found his mother still living, and he gave her a smile that, or she gave him a smile that he'll never forget. Under his pillow was the letter that he had written her after that Sunday night service. Before the winter of death comes to our friends and loved ones, let us speak to them the words of love and encouragement, because we never know the last words we'll speak to our loved ones. Now, we're living in a day where we hear people constantly being killed, shot, just out of the ordinary, just happening, and those people will never be spoken to again. And again, I've heard of children oftentimes telling their parents they hate them, they never want to see them again, only to be the last words that they ever said to them. God forbid, we better take care of business before winter. And I tell you today, if your mother's living today, you need to make an effort to let her know how much you love her and care about her and appreciate her. And you ought not to be ashamed to say, she's my mother, because of her Lord, her love, her longing, but most of all, because of her life. Even as Timothy exemplified a godly mother, we know that she exemplified a mother of faith that loved God.